Ox, a massive night overnight in the world of FIFA. Simon Hill is going to join us. His voice is synonymous with the game in this country. Good on you, Simon. Thanks for your time. We do appreciate it.
Pleasure, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're well. Simon, you've been a long-standing critic of FIFA. What was your reaction when the news broke of these corruption arrests?
Well, look, it's the most extraordinary day in FIFA's 111-year history. I don't think anybody predicted that this was going to take place, and it took place at 6 a.m. Wednesday morning local time in Zurich. The FBI moved in and took out initially seven FIFA officials. We're told that in total there are nine FIFA officials that have been arrested and indicted, and some of those in Europe will be extradited to the US to face the charges of racketeering and money laundering, etc., etc., plus a few corporate executives as well. So my initial reaction was, strangely enough, euphoric, because this day has been a long time in coming, and it's about time that somebody tried to put this game back into some sort of order. We've long suspected it was corrupt, certainly at the top level of FIFA, and what we needed was proof. Now it appears that the US Department of Justice, the FBI, have got that proof, and finally we might be about to learn just exactly what has gone on.
Simon, is it coincidental that the elections for FIFA were happening in a couple of days? Do you think that for the highlight of really getting the point across that the arrests were made now, just to give a little bit of, a bit more sting towards FIFA and the hierarchy?
Well, it probably didn't hurt, particularly as the fact that the world's media has descended upon Switzerland for this particular FIFA presidential election, which takes place on Friday, and the facts that all the FIFA delegates, of course, were in one place at the same hotel, were probably made it expedient for the FBI to go in and get them all en masse. So I think it was a combination of prior forethoughts, probably with the PR battle in mind, but also just sheer logistics, really. The fact that they were all in one place, they didn't have to send 50 or 60 different teams around the world to try and get them individually.
Well, Sepp Blatter, he's going to try and get re-elected on Friday. I mean, this when I hear this and when I read about it, it just doesn't make sense. With everybody who's been arrested, with the US being involved, I don't understand how he's even running.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? In any other walk of life, a high-profile CEO or chairman or top executive, if you had this whiff of scandal and corruption surrounding your organisation, the top man would be the first to go. Now, in football, it hasn't worked this way. Sepp Blatter has ridden out many, many scandals down the years. And he's a very clever politician at disassociating himself with the stench of corruption. If you go onto his personal Twitter accounts today, you'll find that the only tweet that he's put out publicly since this all kicked off was to say that he welcomes the US and the Swiss authorities' actions. It underlines, he says, what we've been trying to do at FIFA to clear out corruption. So again, Teflon Sepp strikes. Now, the problem for football is that it is a democracy in terms of the votes when it comes to the FIFA presidential election. Each of the 200-plus countries have one vote. Now, Sepp Blatter is very good at currying favour with a lot of the smaller and poorer nations of the world because he distributes large amounts of FIFA gold project money, which is used in some cases for very good use for infrastructure projects like building homes of football or installing artificial pitches or paying for coaches or playing kit or footballs, etc., etc. But, of course, it also on occasion goes to line the pockets of rather unscrupulous local officials. So this, sadly, is how FIFA operates today. Personally, I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear that I'm on the side of the challenger, Prince Ali, because he's a reformer. We need change. We need a new regime. We need more transparent, open, and less corrupt FIFA. But I'll tell you one thing. I would not guarantee that it will happen in this presidential election on Friday.
No, it probably won't. I remember when the Qatar bid was cleared by FIFA, Simon, you called it the darkest day for sport. The last 24 hours, and I know you were jubilant with the news that came through, but does it change the fact that for so long these people have been getting rich, people have been sucking up to these people, and we were caught up in it. We were in the vortex of money being siphoned out of our country. Does it change anything?
No, it doesn't change the fact that what went on is disgraceful. And, you know, you are right in saying that Australia had a part to play, albeit a minor part, to play in all of this. It's public knowledge that the FFA, on behalf of the bid, gave money to Jack Warner's organisation in the Caribbean, which we're led to believe went straight into Jack Warner's back pocket. He is one of those that has been indicted to answer the charges. So it does leave a nasty taste in the mouth. And, you know, our bid was by no means squeaky clean. The reason why I'm euphoric over yesterday's news is that although it is a terrible, terrible day for FIFA and for football, it is hopefully the start of a better beginning. And we needed to have this bloodletting. We had to have this carnage in order to start the process. Now, as I've said, it may not continue in the way that I personally want on Friday in Zurich, but there's no doubt that at least this process has now begun. And sooner or later, this terrible regime, which has been in place for far too long, will have to leave the stage and hopefully be replaced by much better and more trustworthy people.
Simon, in this country as well, there are people, even though the game is growing, and you know, worldwide, obviously, soccer is bomb-proof, but people who want to drag the sport down in this country, they always point to corruption. You know, we do a radio program, and if something ever happens, they say, oh, it's corrupt anyway. I reckon it's a great day forward in this country as well. You know, when other people see what's happening at the top, I think it's going to help the game in a strange way with believers and others who want to see it progress.
Well, look, you know, we certainly hope so. And you know, there's a little caveat to what you just said. I would point out that we're by no means the only sport in the world that is, riven by corruption and malpractice. I mean, you only have to look at the, you know, the NRL salary cap rules and the doping scandal in AFL and cycling. So, you know, a lot of sports are tainted by scandals down the years. But this one has been particularly poignant because it's gone on for so long and it's the same people at the top of the tree and we've been unable to shake them out. And that's why I say the reason why I'm, you know, happy that yesterday happened in a strange sort of way is that finally somebody's gone after these guys. You know, we've been asking the world to do something and they seemed untouchable for so long. And strangely enough, it's a country that is not necessarily in love with the sport of football, the Americans, who finally said, right, we'll go in and do it. And thank God they have. God bless America.
Yeah, the FBI. this morning on radio here, Simon, Andrew Jennings gave his point of view and his opinion. And it's well documented of Andrew Jennings' fight against corruption, not only in FIFA, but IOC and other forms as well. A wonderful reporter and journalist that's been around a long time. He was not that complimentary towards Frank Lowy and Les Murray. Your comments, read that.
Well, look, I find it difficult to argue on many points with Andrew Jennings. I don't know exactly what he said this morning with regards to Frank and Les. But
basically, he said about Frank was that Frank should have demanded the money back from Frank.
Warner. Frank did 2 years ago. He went public and asked for the money back. Unfortunately, it got short shrift from FIFA. Sepp Blatter said there is no way we will be recompensing any of the bidding nations and pointed to the contract, which includes a lot of small print, which says, you know, you don't get your money back, essentially. So that point has dealt with. What were the other points that Andrew
He was made? Also speaking about Les Murray and that he'd written articles over the past that were kind of pumping up Sepp Blatter over the journey. And that he didn't take kindly to some of the notoriety and the praise that he was giving Sepp Blatter.
Well, look, it's difficult for me to comment on those specific articles. The only thing I would say with regards to Les, and you know, Les was my boss for a long time at SBS when I worked there, is that it's very difficult when you're in the public sphere of broadcasting. When you simultaneously hold down a job, as Les did, as a member of the FIFA Ethics Committee, to then comment publicly on FIFA matters without being accused of conflict of interest. Now, whether Les recognised that later on in his career, I don't know, because he ultimately stepped down from the FIFA Ethics Committee. But I always thought that was not necessarily a good look for a broadcaster, because if you're making public comments on, you know, matters of importance with regards to the sport, then really you need to be independent of the governance of it.
Simon, last one from me. The 2022 World Cup. The only people who think it should be in Qatar are probably the nationals there in the country. Is there any chance? I mean, we're hearing little bits and pieces. You know, we're watching Twitter. We're watching different news organisations saying that perhaps it is on the table. What have you heard?
Well, no more than you have, to be honest. I mean, this, you know, rumour whether the World Cup was going to be taken away from Qatar has been swirling around for many, many months. And I've been a vocal critic of FIFA in not, correcting their mistake. I mean, and those were the words used by Sepp Blatter himself on the award of the World Cup to Qatar, that it was a mistake. Well, if you make a mistake, you correct it. Now, I think now it's probably too late for it to be corrected. And the reason for that is that Qatar have started building their infrastructure, started building their stadiums. If it was to be taken away now, it would invite litigation to the tune of not just millions of dollars, but billions of dollars. And likewise with Russia, if it was to be taken away from them in 2018. So I don't know whether that is now feasible, but... You know, that to me is only a small part now of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we have to get proper governance of FIFA with officials that aren't tainted with the stench of this corruption. And that means Sepp Blatter is being removed, hopefully being removed, and the rest of the cronies to go along with.
Will he be charged, Sepp Blatter?
Well, he's not been so far. He wasn't one of those named. And look, my point with Sepp Blatter is this. None of us know, in reality, whether he's innocent or guilty of these corruption charges. But I will say this. If he's innocent, then he's the most negligent FIFA president in its 111-year history. If he's guilty, if he knew, then obviously he's culpable. So whichever way you slice it, his regime has to end. Simple as that.
Simon, we'll watch out for you on Fox Sports. Thanks for your time, and hopefully this is the first day of a nice bright one for the sport.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, guys.
Simon Hill there. Robbo's coming up next.